not been a sunny, shine, the sunshiny day, but it's been a Lord's Day. That's always a good time when we have the Lord's Day. Let's bow for a word of prayer together. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, for his death, for the love that he displayed, and the love you showed by giving your son. Thank you, Father, for the Bible that the Holy Spirit inspired. Thank you, Father, for the church that Jesus founded in Acts chapter 2 that we can be a part of by obedience to the gospel. Thank you, Father, for loving us and caring for us in so many ways. Bless us in our study tonight. We pray through Jesus and amen. Before scripture reading tonight, I want us to go to the book of Proverbs, the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs. We're going to use as our beginning point tonight. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew. Pick that one up. You may be using the Bible on your phone. Several people like to do that, but whether you use it on your phone or you have the Bible in your hand, I want you to turn over to the first chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that's where we're going to kind of stop tonight, because we want to look at one phrase that we find here in that last verse, and that is the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is a great phrase, but it's a phrase that is very, very misunderstood. Most people have a very negative idea when they hear the phrase, the fear of the Lord. They have the idea that God is some mean, harsh being. He's up in heaven and he just wants to push you into hell, and he just wants you to be scared of him, and that's the whole idea of the fear of the Lord. That's just not true. The idea of fear really is the idea of real respect. Now, there are things in life that I may not understand, but I respect them. We have electricity in this building. I put my finger in an electric socket and there'd be electric shock that would go through my body enough probably that could kill me. Some people say, oh no, there's not enough to kill you out of a small socket. I don't know if there is or not, but I'm not going to take a chance with it. One of our presidents, I think it was Benjamin Harrison, who was the first president to install electricity in the White House. And he was so afraid of electricity, he would never turn the switch on the wall. He would just sit there sometimes almost in the dark because he would not touch. He had such a fear of the electricity that it's going to shock him in some way. Well, we do need to have respect for electricity, but that doesn't stop me from flipping the switch on and turning lights on in my house or in the church building or any place else where I am. But in that sense of real respect, that's what we need to have in the fear of the Lord. And the understanding of this phrase is very, very important. Because by understanding this phrase, you really understand God. If you don't understand God, you really can't have a relationship with him. I've often thought about that phrase over in the book of Acts where it says, to the unknown God. And if you really don't know God, how can you worship him? How can you serve him? How can you trust him? How can you relationship be exist if you really don't know God? But the fact is, Paul said, that's the God I'm talking about, the one that you really don't know about. That's the God I'm talking about. We want to look at this phrase, the fear of the Lord. It's used at least 12 times in the book of Proverbs. There are some other phrases that are close to it, but we want to look at that phrase as it's used in the book of Proverbs. And the first one is here in chapter 1 and verse 7. Where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That is, if you really want to understand spiritual things, you need to begin with the idea that you have a fear of God. You have a respect, a deep respect for his power, for his presence for his, what he can do. In fact, that you are under that power, you are humbled in the back of that power, but you have that right perspective on things, that right view of knowledge of what's going on in the world, because you have fear of the Lord. Now, let's go down a little bit farther in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. We'll find the second one that is mentioned here. It says, then shall they call upon the Lord, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's the second thing we find out, that the fear of the Lord is a choice. When people tell you that you are born a certain way, and that you're just in this way, you're just this disposition, no matter what might be good or bad, that's just not the case. You are here tonight because you made a choice. It was a conscious choice. Nobody forced you. Nobody made you. Nobody coerced you. You came here tonight because you wanted to worship God. You want to worship God with your brethren. You want to be in fellowship with people. You wanted this, but it was a choice. When you were baptized into Christ, again, nobody tied you up and drug you into the baptistry and made you get in, be baptized and put you under the water. No. You made the choice to confess your faith in Christ and to have somebody immerse you in water for the remission of sins. It is a choice. God welcomes sinners with open arms. And he wants people to come. He wants people to choose him. But there are people who are just not going to do it. And they do not have a fear of the Lord. And because of that, their lives are miserable. And there are things, even their prayers. The Bible says that the prayers are wicked, people will not listen to. So it's important that we think and we remember the fact that it is a choice that we made. Now, third, let's go over to chapter 2. In chapter 2 and verse 2, listen to what Solomon says there. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yes, or yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as a hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You want to find the knowledge of God, you've got to search for it. Sometimes, recently, somebody asked me why we have to go through the Bible back and forth, try to find the answers to things. And the person also said, you know, when I read a chapter, I read a verse, yeah, I don't get out of it, but you get out of it. You seem to understand it. Well, I've studied it, but there are still many passages that I still have to look and really dig and try to find what's the meaning behind it. The fact of the matter is, the fear of the Lord is going to cause us to go to our Bible and to read our Bible and to search for that knowledge of God and of his will for our lives. That's why Bible study is so important. It's important because of the fact that there is where you're really going to learn. Now, you may say, well, David, I don't know much about Bible study. I don't know a lot of things. I don't know Greek and Hebrew and all that stuff. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew. Can you read English? If you can read English, you can study your Bible. You might say, well, David, I've kind of find hard some of those words are difficult. Well, then look them up. Most people have a dictionary on their phone. Maybe you don't. If you have a real dictionary, you can look it up in an actual dictionary. But the fact is, you can learn the Word of God. And that's what brings about the fear of the Lord. When the fear of the Lord will drive you to it. And when you learn and get the knowledge of God, it's going to increase your respect for the Lord. Let's go over to chapter 3. Now for the next one, the fourth one that we find there. Chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Here we have kind of a contrast. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. The idea is that don't be conceited. And that's probably the reason why we have so many people that reject the Bible. They reject God. They reject Christ. Because they are conceited. Now, they may not say, oh, no, I'm not conceited. I don't think that I know it all. But you don't think you need God. That's the whole thing. There is a certain conceit, a certain arrogance in their heart that says, I don't need him. You may think I need him, preacher, but I really don't need him. That's what Proverbs is talking about here. We have the same thing, the fact that over in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6, you don't turn there, I'll just read it to you. It says, in mercy, in truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. You can overcome evil. You can, but you've got to have a respect for God, respect for truth, respect for what God has said in His Word. When one has that fear of the Lord, then one will depart from evil. But if one thinks he doesn't need to, then he has a conceit that just is terrible to consider. Let's go over to chapter 8 now for the next one. Number 5 on our list that we have here is over in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 13. Solomon said this, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Now that word froward really means perverse mouth. Some translations translate it perverse. But really what it says there is that God has a certain hatred for sin. He doesn't hate the sinner, but he hates sin. And what God hates, it is right and it is appropriate for us to hate. Now I know the world says you can't separate the two. That's just not true. Because all of us do it. We all hate sin that we do in our lives, but we still love ourselves. We still protect ourselves. We still take care of ourselves. We still feed ourselves. We do all these things for ourselves. But when we do something, many a time, I know people have said to themselves, they say, I just hate what I did. I did this, but I hate it. Well, that's the right attitude. You hate sin. And God hates sin, and we should hate sin as well. Let's go over to chapter 9 for the sixth one. Chapter 9, verse 10. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. A similar thing is also found over in Proverbs 15:33. He said, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. God is going, when we fear Him, is going to cause us to have a certain humility to say, I just want to do what's right. I just want to do His will. When we have that respect and fear of the Lord, we are going to be in right thinking. That's really what Solomon is talking about there. Have right thinking. And because you have right thinking, you make wise judgments. Now everybody's going to make mistakes. That's true. But your life overall is going to be moving in the right direction. Now let's go over to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 27. The seventh one we have there. It says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Did you ever think about that? That the fear of the Lord is going to give you a long life. The fear of the Lord is going to prolong your life. Someone might say, well, David, I'm a Christian, and they died in the reality. Yes, that's true. That does happen. It's an exception, though. If you look at the overall picture of people, the overall picture is that Christians usually live a long life. And they live a happy life. It's because of the fact they don't have to worry about sins they've committed. If they've committed a sin, they know they can confess it to God, and God will forgive them of it. And they don't have to worry about the fact of waking up with a hangover. They don't have to worry about the fact if they are committing adultery or having an affair, that somebody's going to find out about it and the affair is going to be exposed to the public, to their family. They don't have to worry about things if they've stolen something, or they've stolen something from their company, that somebody's going to find out and maybe lose their job. They don't have to fear about all that. If you fear the Lord, you'll do His will, and your life will be prolonged. Let's go to chapter 14 now for the eighth one. Chapter 14 and verse 26. Solomon said this, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. God's people have a place of refuge. That place of refuge, of course, is the Lord Himself. You might say Jesus is our refuge. That when we need a place to go, when we need a place just to hide, when we need a place just to rest, when we need a place for refuge, God provides it. Now, does that say that we're weak? No. It just says we're human. Everybody needs a place to go for refuge. And our refuge is the Lord. He says here, in the fear of the Lord, there is a place of refuge. Now, go over to chapter 15. Chapter 15, we have our ninth one. He says, better, chapter 15, verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. We live in a material world. We live with material things. We want material things. That's true. But the people who want material things oftentimes get caught up in material things. And sometimes this has happened to Christians. Many times in the New Testament, there's warnings about riches and what riches can do to somebody's life. But here, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. God's people have it in perspective. We may not have a lot. We may not be rich. We may not be as rich as Donald Trump and Elon Musk and Bill Gates and all those other billionaires. And now they're talking about some people are going to become trillionaires. There's one man over in Saudi Arabia who claims to be the first trillionaire on earth. And so we may not be trillionaires or billionaires or millionaires. But we've got enough. We've got things in perspective. Because when we have God, you've got it all. When you've got God in your life, you've got what's really important. I've seen lists of statements that people have made on their deathbed. Some of the most wealthy people, some of the people who had the most in their lives, when it comes down to it and they know they're about to die, don't talk about their wealth. They don't talk about their possessions. They don't talk about their jobs. They don't talk about anything like that. They talk about God. They're worried about eternity. But if you're a Christian, you've got it right. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Things that are of this world, we know one day they are going to be burned up. This building, as much as we appreciate it and we're grateful for it, one day this building will be burned up. One day my house, your house, everybody's house, the whole planet is going to be burned up. It's going to be the end of time. But if you've got the fear of the Lord, you've got everything in the right perspective. Let's go over now to the 10th one. That's over in chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 23. He says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall be abide satisfied and shall not be visited with evil. Christian life really is the happy life. We know what's really important. We know the spiritual side is what really counts in life. That when you have God, when you have Jesus, when you have the Holy Spirit, that's really what counts. Granted, your checkbook may not say $1 million. Granted, you may not live in a beautiful mansion like the Biltmore. That's true. But you've got more than that. You've got peace that passes understanding. You've got a relationship with God Almighty. You've got Christ as your Savior. You've got the Holy Spirit within you. You've got the Bible as your guide in life. You've got brothers and sisters in Christ. You've got the hope of eternal life with God. You've got all these blessings and more. Because you have a satisfied life. You have a life that really sees what's important, a life that helps in every way, a life that can take things. Somebody said, that, you know, talking about death, they said that for Christians, death is part of life. We all know that. But they said, well, we know that it's really just one step from this life to the next. Yes, we miss our loved one. Yes, we wish they were still here. Yes, we'd like to have more years with them. But we know where they've gone. And they're waiting for us. And one day we'll be with them again around the throne of God. The Christian has that satisfied life. Now let's go over to the 11th one, over in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 17. Proverbs 23 and verse 17. He said, let not thine heart envy sinners. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Sinners are not to be envied. Sinners are to be pitied. They're in the grips of Satan. They're in a situation where they want to have a better life, but they don't know how. Very similar to what David said back in Psalm 17. He said, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their maids. The richest people in the world who have the most money, have the most stuff, whatever it might be, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. At a certain point, but nobody knows, they're going to die. And when they die, what's going to happen to that stuff? What's going to happen to that check? What's going to happen to that money? It'll go to somebody else. It'll probably go to their children. Yes, they'll inherit it. But the fact is, it'll make any really better off. It's not to say that money is evil in and of itself, but the fact of the matter is, we often get caught up, people get caught up envying people who have so much. And that's just true all over the world. When I first went to Russia, one lady said that she said, you know, you need to be careful going over there. Because every Russian thinks every American lives like kings. She said, they realize you have a house, you have a car, you have food, you have all these things. And to the Russian people, the average Russian, they don't have those things. They just think that you're living like a king over here. And they always call their Russian counterparts that are living in America and said, send us your money. So the money, you've got so much money. People often envy others who have so much. Here, he says, the fear of the Lord causes us not to envy the sinners. As I said, really, they ought to be pitied. And then the 12th one is over in Proverbs 24. In Proverbs 24, verse 21, he says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Now here, those who fear the Lord really not only have a relationship with God, they have a relationship with their society. The king, as he talks about here, he uses the king as kind of a symbol for society. And those that fear the Lord are the best citizens. They want to obey the laws. They want things to be done right. They want things to be fair. They are good, good citizens in the land. And Christians are encouraged to do this, to be good citizens. Romans chapter 13, 1 Peter chapter 2, other passages gives us the safety that we are to be good citizens. Of course, the Bible does say in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, that we are to obey God rather than men. If there's ever a conflict between the laws of God and the laws of man, the laws of God certainly take precedence over the laws of men. But the fact is that there are people who just want change in every society. And it's not that they say, this is being done, if we did this, it would make the society better. They just want change. They just want there to be turmoil. They just want there to be chaos. And sometimes people say, just change for change's sake. Well, I don't know if that's good. Certainly, if somebody has a better idea to do anything, we ought to listen to their idea and change things that make things better. Certainly, that's true for a country, for a city, for a congregation, for any group. But the fact is that there are times when people just want society just to change. And Christians don't want everything just to change just for the sake of change. They don't want chaos in society. Those who live in the fear of the Lord are good Christians, but they are also good citizens as well. Now, the scariest verse in the Bible, to me, is not the verses that mention the word hell. The scariest verse in the Bible is over in Romans chapter 3, verse 18. I'm not going to read that to you. It says, there was no fear of God before their eyes. And that's something that I've seen several times in my life. Not that the person disagreed about God, they just had no fear of God whatsoever. What arrogance there could be. Fear of the Lord, really, the respect for God's going to cause somebody to want to obey God. Saying, I know God is in charge, God is God, I am not God. I will obey God. What does God say? Jesus said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. We have to not only obey God, but we must be faithful all the days of our lives. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. That's what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes. That's what I encourage all of us to do tonight. Fear the Lord. Keep his word. Now if somebody needs to obey the gospel, we encourage you to do it tonight. Believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, put him on in the water of baptism. You as a child of God realize that you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, why not possess it tonight? Whatever your needs might be, we encourage you to come. If you want to come now, while we stand, while we sing the invitation.